The Magic of Life by Robert A. Young, Chapter 9. Simon Guthridge was feeling the excitement of young Suzanne at the same time and knew that they had begun their new adventure. He also knew that Suzanne had forgotten to tell Bill about the gold coins that she had hidden in his little hut. He smiled to himself and mentioned this fact to Simeon, who had spoken to him regularly each day. "Simon, that's not a problem. I will attend to it in the morning," said Simeon. Although Simon had never mentioned Simeon by name, he knew that Simeon was the same one who had visited Suzanne. Simon had never known Simeon's name until Suzanne had mentioned it. Now it was a great joy for him to speak his name and to ask about the many things that had been revealed to him over the years. Simon was speaking to Simeon on a regular basis, but now he had him alongside him every moment. They chatted away as if they were sitting on a chair beside one another. Simon had decided that he was nearing the end of his life and it was getting close to his time to go. He thought he'd better open up and be the person that he was going to be as soon as he passed over. He felt it was quite okay to talk to Simeon all of the time now, and it was okay to talk to his friends who had already passed over. It was quite exciting to take on his future, even though from the world of the earthly existence, his future looked like it was doomed. To Simon, new doors were opening, and as he sat in his chair and observed his body start to deteriorate, he felt himself growing inside. The enjoyment of meeting all of his old friends again was unbelievable. He had so many friends that he had forgotten about. He'd had all of those bitter times where he thought he'd lost many friends at sea. He had survived the wreckage of 4 ships in the past, and he had survived a major shipwreck that had crushed almost everybody on board against the rocks. How he survived to this day, he had no knowledge, but his thoughts were not on that now. His thoughts were on the future, and in that future were the people who he had thought he'd lost. His dear wife of some 40 years, who he used to call Sally, which was short for Salamander, was there to greet him and was so keen to tell him all about where he was going to. Sally was always a vibrant being. She was always active in everything they did, and she'd had no trouble in handling the town of Norwich. She walked in there bold and brazen and shook everybody up. It was thanks to her efforts that Simon started the trading that brought the small fortune into the world that he had passed on to Suzanne. Sally was so keen, she worked daily to support Simon's task because she understood exactly what had happened to Simon after he saw his friend on Joseph's Hill. Her focus at the moment was on Simon himself, and the message at that time was, "Simon, you are not finished. You must say and see this through. The words that you heard before saying your life was finished only meant the life of gathering was finished, not your life there on earth. You must stay there for us, and you must stay in contact with all of us. This has happened so you can make a breakthrough. This has happened to remove the veil between us. So stay in touch, but do not join us. Do not withdraw your life force. Simon heard this over and over until he suddenly felt the pressure and felt the excitement of all his friends. When he started to awaken again, he felt his body start to come alive. With a great shudder, his body came back to active life and began to shiver. He was cold, as he had been sitting in the chair in the open wind for many hours. He was conscious, but he was shutting down. Simon suddenly jumped up. He forgot his cane and his hat and rushed inside. He put on the biggest coat he could find and started the fire. It was some 10 minutes before he realized he was without his cane and didn't have his hat, and he had no feelings of being old. It was quite a shock to Simon. He looked at himself as he was standing straight, and he felt good. He immediately asked, "Sally, what's happened?" She replied, "You've removed the veil. You can now stand tall, and you can talk to all of us, all. But just be aware that too much involvement in the everyday world will make you feel like you're worn out again. So stay in touch with us, stay in touch with Simeon, and you'll feel fine. You have another 5 years to go, and in those 5 years, we will be with you every moment." Simon felt like jumping out of his skin. He could even feel his body starting to warm from the inside. It was much different feeling to waiting for the fire, and as he warmed up, he found he had to take off his big coat. His whole being started to glow. The only mirror Simon had was a little shaving mirror that he had hung over the sink in what he called his laundry, which was outside. This is where he had an old tub and a wood-fired copper. Simon hurried outside to look in the mirror, and sure enough, he hardly recognized himself. He looked almost fresh and clean-shaven, although he hadn't had a shave that day. The glow was such that he did not see any evidence of age or the rough growth that was on his face. He smiled, and his eyes glittered. His eyes had always been very clear, but now they were brilliant. Simon went back inside and stood once again and marveled at what had happened. He began speaking to everybody around him, and he enjoyed every moment. That was until Simeon interrupted to remind him, "Simon, you are still over 80 years of age, and it's time to sleep." Simon immediately obeyed and went into his small bedroom, where he climbed into bed and closed his eyes to find the beauty of sleep. Chapter 10. A cold sensation came over Suzanne as she tucked young Samuel into bed. Jamie was still running around. Martha was sound asleep, and Samuel was almost asleep. The cold sensation felt strange to Suzanne. It was as if the energy that had been in the house for the last few hours had dwindled away and drifted out the door. Bill was still poring over the maps and details that they dug out when looking to find the same sort of maps that Willem had presented to them earlier. It was like Bill belonged to this place now, but the energy had drifted away. Suzanne was very conscious of this, and she pulled out an extra blanket to put over the children, and then called Jamie and told her it was time for bed. Jamie was quite difficult at times, particularly when it was time to go to bed, but on this occasion she came straight in, jumped up into bed, and said, "I love you, Mommy," before diving straight down onto the pillow, ready to go to sleep. "Haven't you forgotten something?" asked Suzanne. Jamie jumped up and gave her mother a hug and a kiss and laid back down again, ready to go to sleep. Suzanne wondered what had happened. There was obviously something that Jamie needed to look at in her sleep. She was very ready to leave Suzanne and the others and go into a deep sleep. Suzanne gave her another kiss and hug before putting the blanket over her. Jamie did not move after this. Suzanne walked out and turned off the light, only to be greeted by the brilliant smile and bright eyes of Bill. She could feel the warmth come back into her body once again. She had found herself actually separating from her whole new existence. It was like after each sense of excitement, she could not hold it anymore. She dropped everything and fell back into her old world. But there was Bill, with a big smile, a kind heart, and his bright eyes. Looking at him, she couldn't do anything other than swing back into the world of magic that she had just slipped out of. It was so wonderful to have somebody still in the house after the children had gone to bed, and so wonderful to have the feelings that she was experiencing at this time. It was like the whole world opened up again instead of the world closing down, and her heart came to life as she sat alongside Bill at the table. The excitement began to grow again, and they knew there was something special at their fingertips. They both looked at one another and wondered what was to come. And with their arms around each other, they were optimistic that everything they felt was actually coming true. The night was long, but the time seemed short for Bill and Suzanne. Neither of them wanted to leave each other, but they had made an agreement, and that agreement seemed to hold tight for some reason. It felt as if they were tearing their hearts out as they left one another at the door. Bill headed off into the cold of the night.